Hello, this is Joe Shirey. I'm here at TechEd this week, and here with Scott Hansman. And we're going to sit here and chat a little about what's going on the web, a little bit about what Scott's been doing lately, maybe talk about some Model View Controller, the MVC framework.
Loving the MVC.
Loving the MVC. So a lot of you probably know who Scott is, but Scott, what do you do for Microsoft these days?
Not really sure.
No.
Not really sure, but they keep paying me, so that's cool. No, I work for a guy named Simon Muzio, who runs MSDN, ASP.NET, Silverlight.NET, kind of online community.
Mm-hmm.
I gave myself the title Developer Community Liaison.
That's an excellent title.
Because it sounds better than program manager.
Yes, it does.
Right.
It does.
I'm kind of a developer concierge, right? You know,
yes.
If a developer has like a little tickle in their throat, they go lozenge. That's me. Boom, lozenge.
Beautiful.
I'm that guy. I'm the guy that gives them the lozenge.
Beautiful. So, what are you doing here at TechEd? Are you speaking this week?
Yeah, I did a talk yesterday on a whirlwind tour of .NET 4.0,
mm-hmm.
and then today I've got a talk on Velocity in a little while. I got three computers in my bag over there.
Excellent.
I have a, you know, a web farm made of laptops.
Excellent.
Because I think, and one of them is a Dell Mini 9.
Right.
Right, just gotta show how you can get all that stuff scaling on tiny, tiny commodity hardware.
Right.
$200.
So when we talk to a lot of folks in the community, I mean, scale is one of those things that's become a big concern
mm-hmm.
in your websites.
Yeah, yeah.
How's Velocity help with that?
Velocity is there's a lot of different ways to explain it, but the elevator speech is that it's a distributed hash table.
Mm-hmm.
So you're used to putting things in the cache and pulling them out by a key, but that's sitting in process. It's really kind of sitting in app domain. With Velocity, I can put something in this cache, and then it automatically is available in all the different locations within my web farm. So I can have someone show up on web server A,
mm-hmm.
put something in a cache, and then later in the next request, he'll show up on web server B, and that is waiting for him.
Right.
So you can take different kinds of data, like activity data, as far as where they're moving around and what they're looking at, which would be very kind of frequent read-write.
Right.
You could take like reference data that everyone is going to share, like looking up tax tables and things.
Right.
And just any kind of data, whether it be write mostly mm-hmm. or read only or whatever, and configure Velocity in a much more granular way than we're used to doing with caches. And it's available everywhere. And then on, I think they're going to put this on a higher version of Windows Server that you can have high availability.
Gotcha.
So that means that if one of the Velocity nodes goes down, that I'm not going to lose anything. And then there's a session state provider
right.
that you can plug into webconfig.
Mm-hmm.
So then I can start putting stuff like my shopping cart in a session.
Gotcha.
And then that's available everywhere else, too.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So helps
very
with,
cool.
Helps with maintaining session versus the whole view state problem.
Well, and the idea of removing node affinity,
mm-hmm.
right? You don't have to make sure that this guy shows up on box number one.
Mm-hmm.
He can roam freely, so it smooths out scale.
Gotcha.
It also lets you get off the database,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, as soon as you have an in-memory, not really a database, but an in-memory place to put stuff, you can start throwing a lot more information in it because we don't have to worry about latency. The speed of Velocity is crazy. It's, you know, sub milliseconds to get things done.
Right.
And being able to throw anything that you want into it and pull it out anywhere kind of changes the way that you do stuff. And I think the MSDN forums actually went live recently. Using Velocity, and their database access went from about 80% to like 2 or 3%.
Wow, that's yeah. that's a huge delta.
Because when are you going to hit the database, right?
Right.
Well, to populate the cache
mm-hmm.
and then to write stuff.
Mm-hmm. So if I were planning on doing a website and I knew I had to do this a distributed website that had to scale out, what are things that I should consider if I wanted to look at something like Velocity? Is it something that I can just click, 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 next, wizard, and I install,
yeah.
or are there some things I really need to think through in order to do it and do it right?
Well, I mean, when you see the demos, it's always, you know, next, 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 finish, and
right.
everything is shiny. But I worked in online banking for a very long time, 6 or 7 years, and we had a kind of a poor man's distributed cache, similar to Velocity, but less sophisticated. And in that experience, we found that, for example, if you've got all these web servers and the cache is running on the same machine,
mm-hmm.
you want to have multiple NICs, multiple network cards. So you've got the back end, or what they call the back plane,
mm-hmm.
where the caches discuss things amongst themselves. And that's separate from the network cards that are delivering traffic.
Right.
So that's one thought. But if you're going to have separate machines, that's job that it is to do the caching, then, you know, are they on their own network? Are they on a domain or not? What permissions do they have? How are you going to be? Are you going to encrypt the data at all? Are you going to use IPsec to talk between the things? I mean, you can kind of turn up the complexity, you know, knob as high as you want,
right,
and think about things like security.
Mm-hmm.
But Velocity also has a thing called regions and named caches, so you can actually partition caches up and decide what you want physically co-located. So you can not just throw, you know, key value pairs in.
Right.
You can draw a dotted line around them and say, well, that's inventory information.
Right.
And now I'm sure that that's going to be physically co-located on other places. So I'm giving Velocity hints on how to replicate that data.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot of planning that should be put into this kind of stuff. It's not, it's even though the demos are kind of fun, where it's like, hey, look, and I put the session state provider in. Woo.
Right.
You don't write things as before.
Right. So you just have to plan and think through how you're going to store those hash pairs, where they're going to be, so that you,
right,
you can.
We should think about what is your data.
Mm-hmm.
How do you expect to use your data? I think that it's kind of like the difference between some people doing object-oriented programming in the 90s and then what they call service-oriented programming, in the sense that location transparency, object location transparency, was a big thing, like DCOM,
mm-hmm,
where it's like, and you call a method on an object, and we don't know if that object is here or if it's in New Zealand.
Right.
And that's a lie.
Right.
Because it completely ignores network latency.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Service orientation, in its simplest form, in my opinion, is one way of saying formalizing the service boundary.
Right.
That same concept applies when you're doing stuff like changing out a session state provider.
Mm-hmm.
Or going from the in-proc cache to the out-of-proc cache. You have to ask yourself, what is the cost of doing this thing?
Right.
So I think that realizing, you know, what are your business problems and what are the costs, the relative costs for these various ways that I could store and cache data. And then you figure out what knobs and buttons to push.
Right.
I don't think a lot of people do that kind of analysis, or not enough people.
No, I think a lot of people just kind of next.
Well,
and
you know,
but
at the same time, if someone like me doesn't help, if I'm just showing a Northwind demo and I go and add something to a config file, I go, hey, look, it's just that easy.
Right. That's absolutely true. I know we're all guilty of that.
Measure twice, cut once. Mm-hmm. Code once.
Okay. What's the implications from a hardware perspective? I mean, if you're implementing this, I mean, do we have some increased memory considerations that we need to think through?
Well, so it depends on whether Velocity is a service. It's a Windows service, and it runs. It can run on the web server. So
mm-hmm.
if you've got piles of memory and lots of CPU, and you're willing to have maybe two NICs, which isn't required, but you should. You could do that if you've mm-hmm. got, you know, amounts of space to spare. But ideally, you would just have whatever commodity cheap hardware that you want,
mm-hmm.
and you can mix and match on a separate kind of tier,
mm-hmm.
right? But it depends on how big you're going to get, right?
Right.
You could build a system that was maybe just one web server plus Velocity plus a database,
right?
And then start to scale out. So kind of building it in from the one web server and the cache on the same machine,
mm-hmm.
and then slowly kind of moving out from there. Adding in high availability when you need it,
right.
Moving it to a separate tier when you need it, but then again, recognizing the additional cost, making a local call versus making a call across boundaries.
Across boundaries, you
could plan up front, but as far as hardware, whatever you got lying around, there's nothing special about it.
Gotcha. If I had an existing system like the MSDN forums,
yeah.
Is it? A case where it's as kind of simple as switching out a session state provider, or
well, so it depends on. Well, the forums was written in a way that they injected it between the business logic that was calling the data layer.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have an example. You've got like a catalog data service,
right?
And then you've got some business logic that's going to call that DAL, that mm-hmm. data access layer. I mean, if you wanted to, you could either, you know, derive or have an implementation of your, you know, iCatalog cache service that was cache specific.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone would call this provider thinking that they were going to get data. That's all they want is
data.
Just
like they're calling the database, right? Yeah.
And it just happens to be cache.
Gotcha.
But then you have to decide about staleness. And that's, you know, it all comes down to analysis.
Right.
You know, you could get into a situation where you're going to see data that's old.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what is real time, right?
Right.
Do you really need real time access to inventory?
Yeah, I mean,
one of the things that's cool in the demo I'm going to do is that Murali, who's the architect of Velocity, set up a little CSS thing where if the item came out of the cache, it would be blue, and if it didn't, it would be red.
Mm-hmm.
So then from a developer's perspective, that's a really cool way of seeing what item on the screen is cached or not.
Right.
And he did that as kind of a debugging tool, but I think that would be a really cool best practice to be able to, from a dev time, flip
right.
a switch and then, you know, see what's cached on the page and what's not.
Yeah, that would be an interesting way to to do some analysis and see what's happening mm-hmm. within the page and be able to catch that stuff pretty easily.
And of course, one other thing that's worth pointing out is that velocity is, you know, not specific to web forums or to MVC. So mm-hmm. like the demo that I'm going to show today is web forums, but the forums, MSDN forums runs MVC now.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is, and it's also not even specific to the web.
Right.
Which is another kind of
Kind of a little mind-blowing thing when you think about it.
There's a native C++ service, and then there is a .NET client.
Mm-hmm.
So you could use Velocity in WPF.
Right.
So maybe Velocity is an operating system kind of service. It's just available that, hey, you just have this distributed cache table that you can talk to.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I always thought of it from
lots
a web perspective.
There's lots and lots of line of business applications out there, whether it be Silverlight
mm-hmm.
or WPF or WinForms or whatever, when they might have large amounts of information and they want to get that data closer to the user in a format that's more consumable by the user
right.
and lay off the database.
Yeah, very, very interesting.
Yeah.
So you got any idea where this is heading from where we are today, or is this kind of the solution that you think that most people are going to be using, or do you think this is going to morph over time?
Right now it's on CTP3,
mm-hmm.
and I think I've got to build a CTP4 that I'm going to show. I don't know what the schedule is, but on my slide it says RTW,
right.
Release to web 2009 ? Because, you know, they don't tell me anything about that kind of stuff. But I think we're going to see improvements. It's a little tricky to install right now because you have to set up, you know, connection strings and stuff.
Right.
But, you know, they're coming. I met with Morali just a little bit ago and his boss. And there's many ways to configure it. You can store configuration information into a SQL Server
mm-hmm.
for configuration information for the
farm or
the farm, the cache cluster, or in a share.
Mm-hmm.
So you could just have everyone talk to a tiny, you know, XML file that's
right.
sitting somewhere. But it also has PowerShell for administration. So
you
do all the admin from the PowerShell console. So I suspect we'll see greater integration. Maybe an IIS plugin or something to make it really easy to configure. But because it has an API, we can really do anything that we want to.
Right.
We were thinking about making an AJAX service that would allow me to hit Velocity and ask it what's in the cache
mm-hmm.
and then have it automatically update, again, like for debugging purposes.
Right.
Because that's one of the first things that happened with the ASP.NET cache was that someone made a cache visualizer.
Right.
So I could see what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So there's lots of stuff that someone could build on top of it. I don't know what the team's planning to do. But right now it's on CTP3.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So very, very interesting stuff. I think this is definitely going to help out because I know that the ASP.NET cache had some limitations and was kind of a struggle.
Yeah. And they're extending that too. So one of the things that people don't realize is that you can take system.web.caching.cache
mm-hmm.
and use it in another application.
Really?
A buddy of mine wrote an application in WPF
mm-hmm.
for Adidas and wanted to cache some data. He could have did it with just a static hash table,
right.
but then he wouldn't have had expiration, and then he'd have to go running that.
Mm-hmm.
So he could actually add reference to system.web
right.
and use that cache, and he got expiration and sliding time expiration and eviction of those items. But he felt weird about it because he's
You feel a little dirty with the system.web.
No, but it was available,
right?
And the DLL is there. So in .NET 4.0, they've got this thing called object cache, so they're moving... an improved version of system.web caching out into system.runtime.
Mm.
So it'd be called system.runtime.objectcache.
Gotcha.
And then that'll be an abstract class that people can derive their own implementations.
Right.
So if Velocity starts kind of moving itself into the OS and then caching now is in system.runtime in .NET 4, then you could see ways that they can work together where
right.
Velocity could become an implementation of object cache. Either way, caching is becoming more of a fundamental service,
right.
both of the OS and also of the base class library.
And that makes sense. I mean,
and everybody wins.
Yeah, definitely everybody wins. Anything else interesting you're doing here at TechEd, here for the week?
Not eating lunch.
Yes.
I've been subsisting entirely on Diet Coke and string cheese, which this is day 3 and it's becoming a problem. I think my skin is starting to become scaly, so I think it's time to eat actual food.
Yeah, so it sounds like it. So, well, I appreciate you taking the time today.
Sure, cool.
It was great to catch up with you a little bit about this, and good luck with your presentation later.
Anytime. Cool.
All right. Thank you.